All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. Well, the show is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, but so am I in many ways. And I want to thank you guys for listening. I want to apologize for not having a show last week after we ran into just one of those deadly combinations of being a stay-at-home dad, having neither kid either in school or in any kind of summer camp, and having both my wife and my mother leave town at the same time. And I kept telling myself, I'll get to the show, I'm going to do the show. I just need to find a few minutes peace and quiet to get it done. And yeah, obviously we didn't get there. So I pride myself on doing the show weekly. I think we've missed a few shows here and there and stuff like that. But in any event, deluxe double edition today. And by that, I don't mean the show will be any longer. I just mean I'm calling it a deluxe double edition. But we do have a lot to get to because a few things have happened since the last time I talked to you, along with Thomas Bassinger of The Times, who I want to thank again for being a great guest last week. So we'll get right down to it. Of course, as always, the Free Stretch is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. They are Tampa's first family of Ford. They have been serving the Tampa community for almost 60 years now. And there are many things you can take advantage of. Of course, you've always got the nationwide lifetime warranty on any vehicle you buy, new or pre-owned. You know that already. So what am I going to get? Well, that's including unlimited years, unlimited miles, 10 years of roadside assistance, and you get 1 year right up when you buy the car, complimentary service. Bring it back in, oil changes, all that stuff. Just take it in there. They'll take care of it anytime you need. That's all part of the deal when you shop with Bill Curry Ford. Now, if you want to know what they have on the lot, don't even need to take a trip just yet. Just go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E. You can see everything in their inventory. And that is, again, with the transparent online pricing right there in front of you. You want to go check it out in person? Very, very easy to do so. They're very welcoming over at the site just north of the stadium. So if you're a Bucks fan, y'all know that one. About a mile north on Dale Mabry, just north of Hillsborough Avenue. It's on the east side of the road where it's always been. You can see Sean Sullivan, the general manager there, a good friend of mine, fellow Jesuit High alum. He will give you the Joe Bucks fan discount if you mention the website, mention Bobby Fenton, mention the Free Stretch, whatever it is, and you'll get that on top of, again, the already transparent online pricing. So check them out either there in person or at BillCurryFord.com. And I think I may be paying a visit myself because the Explorer that I've recorded so many shows in before I got more technologically advanced is maybe starting to get toward the end of its life. I could probably go another year or two if I wanted to, but maybe I don't want to. We'll see. And by the way, I got a couple of tweets about saying, hey, Bobby, you know, the show's recorded in mono, not stereo, which doesn't matter if you're just listening on your laptop, but if you plug in headphones, I know it only comes in one headset side and not the other, which must be annoying as hell if you're a headset listener. I know this, okay? I believe now I've isolated the problem, and so for next week's show, I anticipate having it fixed, and I want to thank all of you for bearing with me on that. So here we are. It is June 13th, 2019, as I record. This is Thursday afternoon, a little after noon itself, as I start getting things rolling here. And the announcement came out earlier this week, of course, that training camp has official dates now. The first day, of course, they'll report a little bit before this, but the first day that fans can come out and watch practice is going to be a Friday afternoon, July 26th. That's an open practice from 4 to 6:30 p.m. That is, and we'll start the countdown now, and we'll do it every week, 43 days away from this very moment. In fact, it's 43 days and about 4 hours from now that the Bucks, the 2019 edition of the Tampa Bay Bucks, will take the field for the first time. And of course, it won't be the final edition. It'll be over 90 people. But it's going to be exciting to see them out there. Now, between now and then, honestly, not much will happen. Of course, there's been off-season stuff. There's been OTAs and things like that. Stuff going on this past week. And the only thing I want to say about anything that happens between now and the next 43 days, and even after training camp starts, but especially before that, you know, it's that time of year, you get all the headlines if you go to any website, and that includes this very website. I mean, I'm not saying Joe Bucks fan doesn't do it too. You know, Arians bullish on the corners. We're all excited about this, that, and the other. Looking to, you always see the words looking to, like, Bucks looking to this, that, and the other. Linebacking core looking to whatever it is. And it's all this great press, great PR, exciting things. You know, there's a story even on the front page of the website today. He's trying to turn this thing around quick. Quotes from Lewis Riddick, and it's, you know, glowing stuff about how Bruce Arians isn't going to mess around. We're going to fix this and all this real quick. And again, nothing wrong with any of this. I'm, you know, like I said, you'll see this anywhere. You'll see it on Twitter. You'll see it on our own website. But I want to stress that none of it matters. And I want to stress, not to tell you, oh, hey, don't read it. Don't bother with it. Of course we want you to read it. We want you to be excited. I'm excited. I mean, what are you supposed to do for the next 43 days? I love baseball. We got the Rays season, but that's a long season. That'll still be going on when the Bucks regular season is well underway. We got a long time. During the summer, it's kind of, you know, the doldrums a little bit, especially when you get to the early and midsummer like this. There ain't nothing for the next 43 days except baseball. And so I get that people are fired up. People are going to be hitting any story they can. They're just looking to consume football. And so am I. And that's fine. But just, again, take it all with a grain of salt, because nothing is happening now, at least as far as things that are going to affect the outcome of the 2019 season, that isn't happening everywhere else. And everybody's got practices and things like that, and OTAs, and then they go away for a while. Now they're going to come back to camp again 43 days from today. I'll tell you what is going to matter. I was happy to see this with the camp announcements. Well, first of all, you know, they've moved. They used to be two-a-days. You go all the way back to when I was a kid in the 80s and 90s. I remember going over to Pepin Rude Stadium at UT and going to training camp there. And that was always fun. Loved going to training camp there. You could sit in the bleachers. It was covered. They had the facility. It was all right down there. And that was always two-a-days. Again, there'd be a morning and afternoon. Now those don't exist anymore. I think Ray Perkins even did three-a-days, if I'm not mistaken, a couple times, which is just absurd. But now there's one practice a day. They're going to afternoons. Bruce Arians says he wants to do afternoons. We had mornings. Shiano, Lovie Smith tried middays. He liked the heat, wanted them to get used to it. So Arians is doing the afternoon. And so from a standpoint of going to attend training camp, I like it. As far as, I'm like I said, a stay-at-home dad. So it doesn't affect my work schedule the way that a lot of you guys it might affect. I work mostly nights and weekends when I do work. But being able to go at 4 to 6:30, I think just, you know, gives you that more of a, hey, let's go on a whim type thing. Like, if you plan it out, it doesn't matter as much. But when it was early in the morning, you would never go unless you said, okay, I'm going to go to training camp on this day, and you'd make plan. And now I could see, hey, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe it's like 1:30, and I'm like, you know what, let's go to camp today, and I'll take my son over there or something. So I could see that. Afternoon thunderstorms may play more of a role, of course. As far as fan viewing goes, the Bucks have the indoor facility. If those things happen, they can immediately move into. So it won't be as big of a deal for them, and that's one reason. I don't think you would see 4 to 6:30 practice times several years ago before they built the indoor facility, because it was just too much of a chance that you'd miss a bunch of practices. I think now, knowing they can practice no matter what, they're going to go with this. So that should be fun. The covered bleachers are back. I know you're all very excited about that. They had those a couple years ago. Now they're not there anymore. Or last year they weren't there anymore. They've brought them back. And so for those of you that enjoy, and I've, again, you're going to be sitting still. If I'm out running around, I don't even care about being in the sun, but if I'm actually just sitting still, I don't want to sit in the sun. Not for long periods of time. So I'm glad they have the covered bleachers. You've got a bunch of open ones, more than usual. In fact, the Bucks' first five, July 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th. That's a Friday through a Tuesday. They're all open. Then the first week is with no game. Then you get into the game schedule with the first preseason game, August 9th against the Steelers. And it just goes from there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Very excited about that. We will count down every week at 43 days. I'm not going to talk any more about Gerald McCoy, because that has come and gone. He plays for Carolina now. That's fine. But one more thing I wanted to say regarding Ndamukong Suh, not McCoy. Don't worry, I'm not getting on McCoy. I'm talking about Ndamukong Suh now. It was for some reason treated as big news last week when pictures started showing up on Twitter and the Bucks made the official announcement. You know, Ndamukong Suh has signed with the Bucks, and they showed, you know, their media people put out the pictures, and he's wearing jersey number 93, and it was made out to be a big deal. Whoa, can you believe that? Can you believe that Ndamukong Suh's wearing number 93? Hard to believe the Bucks went that route and just gave Gerald McCoy's number right back to Ndamukong Suh. Man, that's a statement. There's no statement. Ndamukong Suh signed with a football team. then was asked what number he'd like to wear out of the numbers that are available and picked one. And the very idea, and I just had to get this off my chest, I would have said it last week if I'd done a show, but the very idea that it's a big deal, and this was somehow tied in like when McCoy signed with Carolina, that, oh man, I wonder how he feels about that. Why do we care about that? First of all, I don't care about anybody's uniform number anyway, but second of all, imagine being Ndamukong Suh, you've just signed with this team, you come in, and they ask you what number you want to wear, and it's got to be a number that's available. And you've worn the same number your whole career, number 93, and you're like, oh yeah, man, 93 is open. I definitely want 93. And imagine if they told you no, just to take care and not to offend someone who's no longer with the team, but not only that, who they just released so they could get you, who plays the same position as you, and they're gonna say, oh no, man, we can't give you that number. That's hit. Who is playing for the team? I love how they say it's Gerald McCoy's number. It's nobody's number. It's an empty number right now. And I'm just trying to imagine, like, and I'm glad the Bucks didn't do this, but people thinking like the team went out of its way to purposefully make a statement when all they did was give a guy the same number he's worn his whole career that we had available. And oh my God, no, we better not do this. We have to keep this number for someone who's no longer here, who you're replacing, by the way, who we wanted you instead of him. But even so, we can't give out that number. I mean, that to me would be the signal of a really poorly run organization. It would be, as a player, it would say things to me that wouldn't make me want to bust my ass or work hard for that team or really feel wanted at all. So I'm glad they simply didn't make a big deal of it, gave him the number, and that was it. I'm excited to see what he can do up front there, just like everybody else. And I wish Gerald McCoy all the luck in the world in Carolina. Like I said, not about him, but the idea, and again, this goes back to how certain things get reported. I've been on this show for a while, and most of the time, I'm the one telling you guys, hey, listen, you guys rip on the media way too much. The media is just reporting things. You guys act like they have an agenda. And I'm always trying to walk you back off that ledge, because I think that attitude permeates too much stuff, both with sports and politics nowadays. But in this case, I did think it was a pretty dumb narrative. And in this case, I'll actually concede that. When I saw, and I'm not mentioning anybody's name or anything like that, but all these people in the local media, oh man, can you believe they gave Suh number 93? Yes, I can. I wouldn't be able to believe that they didn't. I mean, my God. But either way, I'll say this much. No number looks good on those uniforms, and that's a whole other thing that we've been through many times before, and that's that. Few things around with the NFL that I wanted to talk about. You know, you're coming up now on the 2019 season, then there's the 2020 season, and now after the 2020 season is when the labor deal is supposed to expire, and so if we want to avoid a work stoppage in 2021, they're going to have to come up with a new labor deal by the end of the 2020 season, or at least officially by the beginning of the 2021 season, whatever you want to call it. And of course, they want to get that done much sooner than later. So the reports were coming out again this week about how the owners are still beating the 18-game drum, how that's not over yet, how there's still more things that the owners want. And this 18-game thing has come up over and over again over the years, and it gets shot down every time because when you look at what the NFL has become safety-wise and you look at all the issues with player safety and things like that, it seems like the NFL doesn't have a leg to stand on when they try to do all these things to make the game safer and claim they're trying to do all these things to make the game safer and then turn around and add two more games. So it kind of went away for a while, at least in our minds it did, but I think what the reports mainly say, and I think what this tells us, is that it never really went away and isn't going away. So the past few days since I've been reading all this stuff, I've been thinking more about 18 games because I've really dismissed it in the past because I didn't think it was going to happen. It's still not going to happen like in the next couple years or anything like that, but I never just assumed, I just never treat it like a real thing, you know, just something the owners wanted, but it's since it's so obviously a bad idea that it won't happen. I've learned a lot, though, in life, not just in the past few years, but in the past, you know, several years, that just because something's a really bad idea doesn't mean you can dismiss it. I used to think that, like in my idealistic younger days, I would hear an idea, and if it was terrible, I would just say, oh, well, there's no need to worry about that. That's a terrible idea. Only in maturity have I started to learn that, No, it is a terrible idea, but it will still happen. Like that, when I was younger, I was like, oh, that won't happen. That's a terrible idea. But in life and in society, it seems like that is not a barrier anymore for things. So with 18 games, I feel like the NFL's playing the long game, no pun intended here, but I think what they've been doing over all these past several seasons, and you'll see it, you know, again, with numerous stories I'll end up talking about on this show, all these safety measures, all these rule changes, all these things that happen that make people lose their minds and say, oh my God, we're playing flag football, this is crazy. I can't believe, why don't you just put skirts on them? All the, every cliche you've heard already for every time they do something with, you know, illegal hits or any kickoffs, you know, all the stuff they've been doing, okay? They do want to make the game safer, I definitely believe that. But they are building a case for 18 games. Like, all of it, it just hit me, you know? I should have recognized it sooner. But they're really building a case, because they can't go to 18 games unless they can point to, hey, look, we did this, we did that, we did the other thing. All these things we did to make the game safer than it's ever been. And the game is safer now. I mean, it's not obviously going to ever be perfectly safe, but it's way different than it was in the 80s, 90s, and even early 2000s. Way different. I mean, I don't think anybody could deny that. And so when they keep chipping away at these things, they're, again, building a case. They're putting a block here. They're putting a block there. They're laying a foundation so that when the time comes, and it is coming soon with the new... dropped my phone there. The new labor deal coming up, that's the time when they're going to want to say, okay, now let's go to 18 games. They need to be able to turn around and point and say, you can't call us hypocrites. We are in favor of player safety, but we believe we can have both 18 games and safe players, and here's how. And then there's going to be concessions, because we know the players have said they don't want it, right? So you're going to have to give them something they want. And that goes back to the marijuana thing, and here's why. The marijuana thing is common sense. No one gives a crap about marijuana. But you keep saying no, 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 even though you don't care. Then when you need something, you can say, okay, well, I'll give you marijuana if you give us 18 games. And that's just a bargaining chip they can use with the players, even though they never gave a crap about marijuana anyway, probably, in real life. But that was their official stance. And now, okay, here you go. Let's do this, and we'll give you that, and we don't have to worry about anything. And, it, you know, is it... Is it a good faith thing? No, I don't think it's in good faith. But it's a lot of times how negotiations work. And, you know, I think marijuana is way over... I've never played professional football. I've never dealt with chronic pain, thankfully, or to the degree that those guys do. And it's not just football players. It's lots of different people. But, you know, I have no idea, personally, how much of a difference marijuana makes. You know, we've all read the studies. We've seen that, oh, in this case it does help. Oh, in this case it didn't help. Fine. I mean, that's all fine. But I think the whole idea that marijuana is such an important thing is way overrated. I just don't care about it. I don't like seeing guys get suspended for marijuana. Because to me, I think marijuana is bad, but I think it's bad the way I think tobacco is bad. Like, I don't want to see guys go to jail for it. But I'm certainly not of the, oh, yeah, marijuana, perfectly safe and healthy. You know, it's bad for you. Smoking things is bad for your lungs. Like, that's just in general, okay? Now, marijuana may have some healthier side effects as far as pain relief and all that. And again, that's fine. My point is, this is what the owners will do. They'll say, oh, well, you know, we'll give you that. We'll give you, we'll loosen our rules on marijuana testing and things like that in exchange for the 18 games. And it probably involves more money, too, because obviously the whole point of this is to make more money. So if the owners are going to do that, the players are going to do that, too. And that ties into the salary cap and percentages and all that. But the number is just a big number. Like, I'm thinking of 18 games, and I've always said, you know, look at the four major sports. The NBA, too many regular season games with 82. They could probably get away with 70. And maybe even less. NHL, same thing. They play the same as the NBA, 82. No need for 82. You need 70, and you're fine. You just saw the St. Louis Blues win the Stanley Cup after being dead last in the league, like, midway through the season. Like, we know the regular season doesn't matter. We just saw the Tampa Bay Lightning win almost every game, literally almost every game, and then get swept in the playoffs. So the playoffs are all that matters. So we don't need 6 months of the regular season just to get to the one little part that's the only part that matters. you know, give him more rest, shorten the season, whatever. Too long. Major League Baseball, my God, the poster boy for being too long. 162 games is absurd. You'd probably be fine with 128 or something like that. You know, I'm just picking out numbers that are divisible by, you know, 2 and 4 and all that, whatever. Point is, all these seasons are too long. Way too long, okay? Then you get to the NFL. And it really is perfect. Like, it's perfect the way it is. Like, 16 games. Then it's got the perfect number of playoff teams. See, all the other sports they have, NHL and NBA, have too many regular season games and too many teams in the playoffs. At least MLB doesn't have too many playoff teams. But football's got it all right. 16 games. Then you got your four division champions, your two wild cards. I don't think I'd change anything about the NFL's current format, except to me, I'd still make division winners automatic qualifiers for the playoffs, but I wouldn't make them automatic top four. I'd take your four division winners and two wild cards, then I'd seed them according to records. So a division winner could still be the sixth seed. That'd be the one thing I would change. Everything else, I would not touch. I love wild card weekend. I love divisional playoff weekend. Then you get to your conference championship. I mean, it's beautiful. It really is beautiful. And adding two more games just diminishes that sense of urgency a little bit. Hey, look, you say, well, Bobby, if you love football, you want more football, don't you? And yeah, I do want more football. I talk all the time about how, no matter how good or bad the Bucs are, and mostly it's bad lately, but I talk all the time about how even when they're, you know, 4-7 or whatever they are by the time it's week 13, that we only get 16 of those precious Sundays every year, or Thursdays or Mondays occasionally. And for 3 hours on those 16 days, there's 365 days in the year, and on only 16 of them, we get those 3 hours 16 times a year to watch our team. For all the talk, I do this podcast once a week, all year round, 52 weeks a year. The Joes writing articles 3, 4, 5 times a day. You on the internet reading them, listening. All the hours that go into following a team as a fan, and you do it for fun, it's not work, but all that goes into that. And there's only those 16 precious little games that are actually what matters, you know? So, hey, why wouldn't you want 18? But I think that's the point. It's because it's just those 16. And every time you add a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, it's like, eh, you know. Now it's a little less urgent in week 3 when the Bucs have 3rd and goal from the 6. And you're like, man, you know, if we settle for a field goal here, we could lose. Not just this game, but this could cost us a playoff spot. You know, like that football's the only sport that's like that. I know hockey comes down to, you know, a couple points here and there for the last playoff spot in the NBA. In baseball, sometimes a team wins the division by one game, and then they either win by one and don't have to play a wild card game, or they do. I know that, but usually when you have, the more games you have, the less any one of them means. Football's the only one where you're sitting there, and it could be, again, week 4, and you're watching the game, and it's 3rd and goal from, like, the 6-yard line, and you're thinking, like, if we don't score on this possession a touchdown, this could be the difference between making the playoffs and missing them. Like, that type of stuff, every series means something from week 1 all the way through in football, and in college football even more so. And for as much as I love football for what football is, like the game itself, which I do love football, I think I love it just as much because it matters more. I think if you played 16 baseball games and just 16 once a week, we're going to play 16 games, I think baseball would feel similar to football then. I think one of the reasons we're more, I don't say weak because everybody's different, but one of the reasons that baseball doesn't bring out the passion, and it does, I mean, I love baseball, and some of you may love it more than football, some of you may not even care about it, but the point is, just from the national conscious, the way football just dominates everything in our society. Even though we like, you know, NBA is going to get tonight, there's a game with the Raptors and Warriors. That'll get a lot of attention. Baseball gets a lot of attention. The Stanley Cup last night, the game wasn't dramatic, but it was dramatic watching the Blues win their first Stanley Cup. That was all great. And even though that's true, like, football dominates. I mean, you can see it in the TV ratings. You can see it in the amount of money that's in all the four different leagues. By far, it's football, right? And like I'm saying, part of that is probably because football is a great game, but another part of it is because there's a scarcity, you know? Like, everything feels bigger. It feels more like an event. Like, imagine if there were 16 Rays games in the year instead of 162. And imagine if they started out, like, 8-2 in their first 10 games. It'd be like, oh, man, the Rays are on the cusp of going to the playoffs, the World Series. You know, but now, oh, they're 8-2, whatever. We have 150 games left. Nobody cares. It just so much, it waters it down. And that's true with anything. And I think where football has always gotten it right is that they don't do that. Now, 18 games is not going to ruin anything. It's only two more games. It's not going to be the difference. Football will still have that sense of urgency. And that sense of urgency is what I prize above it so much. Because, again, it has that more than any other sport ever has. But it'll be a little bit less. Which is why, and this is another thing I said, you know, you can make more money without increasing the games. What you increase is the number of weeks, right? So what if you added a bye week? And I can't take credit for this. I forgot who it was, but somebody talked about this the other day. And I'm stealing it. You know, and the league tried this for a brief couple seasons in the 90s, decided that people didn't like it. But that was a different league now than it is now. What if you had two bye weeks? So now you go up to 18 weeks of the season. And so that's adding another week of inventory. Another week's worth of Monday night football, Sunday night football, the Thursday game. You add all that. And you just, you know, play the same amount of games, only now you have two bye weeks. First of all, that'd be another step in the direction of player safety, giving guys an extra bye week. I mean, I didn't play anything past high school, and I remember in high school, we had 10 games in high school and one bye week. And I remember, like, just the grind after, like, five or six games in a row, I'd be like, God, you know, like, not that the bye week was any better in high school, because in the NFL, like, your bye week, like, they tell you to leave. Like, you're not even allowed to be there for a week. Like, you're off for a week. Like, that's part of the CBA. In high school, we just beat the hell out of each other for a week of practice. Only on Friday, there was no actual game. So it was worse because we had, like, an extra practice, I think. I mean, it sucked. Like, the bye week was the worst. But to have an actual week off, that would have been a big deal. And that's high school. That's just, man, a lot of you probably played high school football, too. I can't even imagine in the NFL, like, playing all these games. 16's a lot of games. Plus the preseason and training camp and all that. And then you're going to go add two more. And I know they would cut down on preseason if they did that. But it's not the same. And speaking of preseason, you know, that's what would happen. It'd be two preseason games and 18 regular season games. And then it'd still be another bye week. So it'd be 21 weeks instead of what we have now, which is the... It's still 21 weeks, but it's the four preseason and 16 regular season games with a bye week. So, as I've said before, my grand plan, and again, maybe I'm not growth-minded enough, maybe, you know, sometimes I hear people always just obsessed, if you're not growing, you're dying. Sometimes things are okay, like you can get too big, maybe you got something just right, you know, maybe you should leave it. My plan would be extra bye week, still 16 games, two bye weeks. I would cut the preseason to three games, and I've said this before on the show, I don't know why they don't do it more. One home preseason game, one road preseason game, and one neutral site preseason game. So that's, again, 16 neutral sites you'd need for the league every year, and then I would use that to take the game to places that I want to bring my pro, whether it's overseas, not overseas, but, you know, they're doing preseason games. I think they're doing one in Canada this year. You can do them in Mexico like you do regular season games, but not just that, in America too. You know, play one in a place that doesn't have the NFL. Use college stadiums. Give people a chance that, you know, if they're in the area of a favorite team but not quite in the city of a favorite team, maybe play a game there, like play a Bucks game against the Jags in Orlando. Or hell, play one in Tallahassee, you know, play Bucks Jags at the at Doak Campbell Stadium for FSU. Play one in Oklahoma, play a Cowboys game at like the Sooners Oklahoma Stadium, whatever they call it, in Norman. Stuff like that. Play a game in Helena, Montana. Have the Broncos play the Seahawks in a preseason game in Helena, Montana. You know, NFL fans live there, but they can't watch any NFL games in person. Play like that. That's the type of stuff I'm talking about. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Have the Cardinals take on, you know, the Broncos there. Whatever it is. Not huge travel, but find 16 sites every year. Do one preseason game there. Then you get one at home, one on the road. That's three. Take the fourth week and just make it another bye week in the regular season. Now you've got one more week of regular season inventory for TV people. You've got more money. You haven't increased the number of games. In fact, you've taken another step toward player safety, which you can pat yourself on the back about. And on top of that, a little bonus for season ticket holders. It's one less preseason game you have to pay for. But there's the rub. you know, my plan there I just gave out is fine, and it probably makes a little more money, but it doesn't make quite as much more money. And you got to understand when you're talking about the, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having money, but when you're talking about the mentality of these NFL owners, like, if you told me, hey, you know, here's $30 million right now. I'm just making up a number. Here's $30 million. I would immediately take the money and stop worrying about money for the rest of my life. I wouldn't even think about, like, investing. Like, people are like, oh, you know, what can I buy to invest this and make more? That's not how my mind works. $30 million, that's enough to last me my whole life and my kids and their kids and their kids. That's $30 million, you know? I mean, I would invest it in, like, safe stock type stuff, like investment funds. But I wouldn't, like, be like, okay, how can I parlay this into $100 million? That's how these guys think. That's how they got to where they are. These guys have literally $1 billion, and they actually think, okay, well, I need to make $100 million more. Like, they don't think, oh, I got $1 billion, I can just, you know, do whatever I want. That's not how their minds work. Like, it's not how their minds work. And again, I'm not even saying there's anything necessarily wrong with that, but when you're a person who has an average amount of money, or even a lot of money, like, I'm not talking about, oh, you're, you know, someone who's a big-time lawyer or a doctor, even that, that's regular money. I'm talking about, you know, nine-digit money, okay? When you have that much, their minds work completely differently. I'm not talking about regular people, even rich regular people, because that's not rich with a capital R. And so they're thinking, well, yeah, okay, we're making good money, but, you know, we could make more. And the phrase, because we can make more money, is all the justification that some people need to do something, whether it's a good idea or not. And they don't care about anything else. So that's why, and I've, you know, again, I've learned this. Maybe it took me longer than it should have. The 18-game thing isn't going to go away. And it's the same thing with London. They keep talking about putting a team in London. Of course, that's absurd on its face. There's no reason to do that. Everything's fine with the league they have right now. But they're thinking, oh, man, you know, they just keep thinking, we got to do this. We can make more money if we do that. And they're just not going to stop beating that drum. Now, that one's quieted down for now. Hopefully, that one does go away. But the 18-game thing is not going to go away. And seeing those reports this week, it just made me realize, you know, they are, again, they're building a case. They're trying to get to a point where they can point back to their body of work and say, we've done enough with player safety. You should be pleased with this. We're not unreasonable in adding two games. And of course, they can also increase roster sizes, which players will like because more players will have the chance for jobs. I still don't know why they deactivate guys. There's 53 guys on a roster right now, and you have to deactivate, what is it, five of them and play with 48. If you're on the roster, you should be able to play. Why not just have all 53? And in fact, increase it to 55 or 60 or whatever it is, fine. And that's probably something they'll do. As again, they'll call that a concession, even though it's common sense. They'll say, oh, well, we gave you this, so now you give us that. So I guess that's the art of deal making, is really just figuring out things that either you want anyway or just don't care about, and making it sound like you're sacrificing something in order to make those things happen, and using that as leverage to get what you want. And again, that's how your mind has to work if you're going to succeed at the level that some of these people succeed at. In any event, we'll talk more about that down the road. One other bit of league news that came down, and again, this was really good news. Hard Knocks. You know, who was the team going to be this year? All season long, all off-season long, the obvious choice was the Raiders, but we didn't know for sure, and we were worried. NFL has made that official. The Raiders will be the Hard Knocks team. That is sorely needed, because I'll tell you what, Hard Knocks has bored me to tears the past couple seasons, and that includes the Bucs. You would have thought, like I thought before going in, like, oh man, it's our team on Hard Knocks. The Bucs, finally, this is going to be awesome. And then when I watched the Bucs season of Hard Knocks, you know what shocked me the most? I shouldn't say shocked, but you know what surprised me the most about that whole season of Hard Knocks? Was how not different it felt from any other season. I thought it being our team was going to be really special, and it was going to be like this cool experience to have my team featured on Hard Knocks and to learn all these things. And it really just felt like any other season. And so did last season and all. It's just blending together now. Like, it didn't, there was nothing special about it. This year, with the Raiders, like, if they just said, oh, your Hard Knocks team is the Titans or whatever the hell, I would have been like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, you know. But the Raiders, like, I'm excited now. And there's one reason. You know, I know they've got all these characters and it's the Raiders and Mark Davis, but you all know it and I know it. There's one reason why that show is going to be looked forward to and why I have high anticipation of it, and that's Jon Gruden. I want to see Jon Gruden on. You can't put a microphone on Jon Gruden while he's coaching enough. I want to see him coaching. I want to see him in meetings. All the things that he did while he was here and that the way he is as a coach, I want that on television. That's why I'm excited. So that's going to be happening. That was another good bit of league news. And we will obviously await the beginning of that after training camp, which again is 43 days away. So I want to thank all you guys for, again, bearing with me after missing last week's show. We should be good to go. I'm going on a one summer vacation, maybe later in the summer, and we'll figure out what to do with all that. But in the meantime, I will be back next week. Thanks to our good friends at BillCurryFord.com. Again, see all the details of the lifetime warranty, including unlimited miles, unlimited years, 10-year roadside assistance, 1-year complimentary service, all of it. Get all the details at BillCurryFord.com or visit them 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry, just north of Hillsborough Avenue. Thanks to them. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform, allowing me to get in front of you guys at the single best place anywhere on the internet for Bucks coverage. And thanks to all of you. I am Bobby Fenton. That is the Free Stretch. Middle of June, middle of everything, but it's coming, okay? 43 more days. We'll take it week by week, and we'll get you there here at JoeBucksFan.com. In the meantime, oh, happy Father's Day to everybody. It's Father's Day weekend. Totally forgot about that. And, of course, when it's Father's Day weekend, it's U.S. Open weekend. I'm very excited to watch the Open, especially because of Pebble Beach. That's always a more fun version of the Open, in my opinion. So whatever it is you're doing, have a happy Father's Day. Be safe. Enjoy all that. Go spend some time with your dad. Go spend some time with your kids. Whatever it is. In the meantime, I will be back next week. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.